Welcome to the Business Resilience Decoded podcast, brought to you by Aspalis Advisors and the Disaster Recovery Journal. Crisis management in today's world is ever-changing, and this podcast is our commitment to help you navigate successful outcomes for any crisis you may face. I'm your host, Vanessa Matthews. I specialize in providing insights and solutions for crisis, continuity, and resilience across industries from real estate and healthcare to terrorism in the airline and transportation worlds. No matter what industry you're in, this podcast will provide you the tools to build resilience in your organization. Welcome back to the Business Resilience Decoded podcast. Today, we are joined by Dr. Bernard Jones, a professor of Homeland Security and Emergency Management at St. John's University. The title of today's episode is The Joy of Metrics and Training the Next Generation of Professionals. Dr. Jones has, throughout his career, worked in several industries, teaching in tech and data, healthcare, security, and higher education. Dr. Jones, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Excited.
Awesome. We're excited to have you. So you recently spoke at a conference about the joy of metrics, and you specifically said that metrics are not a science, but an art. Can you talk a little bit more about that for us?
Sure. Yeah, I actually think it's both. And I typically lead any discussion or presentation with a couple of quotes. So I'm going to give you the science quote and the art quote. So when I talk about business continuity metrics, I go to the quote, all the measurement in the world is useless if you don't make any changes based on the data. And that comes from Amber Naslin, author of The Now Revolution. So that's the science part of it. You got to do something with the metrics. You just can't capture them and do nothing. But the art part of it is more about how do you articulate the metrics? How do you display them? So a Yale professor, emeritus, Edward Tufte, he said, power corrupts, PowerPoint corrupts absolutely. So how you display the data is really, really important. That was kind of the driving force to the workshop I did.
I love that. Funny note about PowerPoints.
Yeah, exactly.
So in your experience working in a variety of industries, which metrics have been pretty universal where you've worked, and what are some examples of metrics that may have differed by the industry?
Sure. So business continuity metrics, there's some standard ones that we always drive to, we always lean on, more about like quantity of things that we do in the program. So we have to report on things like BIA reviews, updates, BCP updates, number of things that we do, more around governance, right? Tests that we do. We also look at another layer down from that is we look at that by division, how you quantify your different roles in your company. So those are standard, universal across all industries. But industry specific, the only one that I can think of that's important is when I worked in healthcare, how our emergency notification was so important when there was any type of an event. So we would always do drills on that. So for me, if I looked at an industry specific metric that was important, it was more around communication and emergency notification. And that's specific to healthcare. But healthcare, finance, those are the two big industries where they're so heavily regulated. Yeah, I would think communication and emergency notification were the metrics that I leaned on in particular for healthcare.
Awesome. So that kind of leads me to a question about capabilities. How do you know which metrics you should really focus on that are specific to your organization, right? Like, how do you know if their program is actually effective?
Great question. So I mentioned those standard metrics before about just counting things. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to diminish their importance, right? It's important as a governing body and you're the face of business continuity in your organization. It's really important to keep track of those things, mainly because you don't want to miss certain areas of your organization. You want to keep track of those things and make sure they get done. But you made a good point. Effectiveness looks more about how is this program, is it effective? Are we not only measuring things that we're doing or maybe not doing, but are we capturing gaps in observations in some of those you know, business continuity things that we do. For example, BIAs. I've done a series of BIAs where it's not just simply capturing information, but you also tease out any kind of gaps or observations from the BIA discussion. You ask questions to the business. That's important because it leads to, when you do testing and exercises, you have some input into that based on what you hear during the BIA. But effectiveness, that's the next phase, not just, again, capturing these counts, but, you know, will this plan work? You know, are we set up for success when we try to respond to something? So another point I would stress there is, how closely are we talking to our senior leadership about things that they are focusing on or worried about?
So you bring up a great point. And I know you're a professor within a higher ed institution, but when you think about higher education, how important is executive engagement? And what have you seen as a way to help drive that success from a higher ed standpoint?
Sure. So executive engagement, vital, like mandatory, right? So whenever you're in a company where there's not that kind of buy-in and engagement between business continuity and leadership, executive leadership, it's always a struggle. You know, you're trying to sell the program, you're trying to sell enhancing resilience at the organization, but unless you have that real close buy-in and engagement with senior leadership, it just makes it more difficult. That's where I feel metrics are so important. If you can continually articulate what you're doing in your program, specifically if there's any gaps or issues, rest assured that should get the attention of senior leadership. And it may also help you to get additional resources, to get the things you need to continue to drive building resilience. So it's essential. I think it's maybe even one of the core, you know, professional practices, that senior leadership at the very beginning of your program is vital. And I always ask them the question, I hate to always, it sounds like a broken record, but you always ask the question, like, what keeps you up at night? What are the things that are really important for you to kind of dive into as far as potential disasters or potential impacts? So what keeps you up at night, it should drive that conversation with senior leadership and that continuous engagement. But the metrics help to tell the story.
Absolutely. So speaking back to metrics, from an exercise perspective, what metrics should we use during an exercise to measure how effective those are?
I would say the ones that you take away from the exercise, I think, are more important. And we kind of, sometimes we're so concerned about getting through the exercise and kind of checking the boxes. But I lean heavily on the person that's the scribe during the exercise to capture any types of gaps or observations that come out. I think that's the most important thing. You're trying to test your plan, test your recovery capabilities, albeit in the tabletop, based on a scenario. The metric that I think is the most important is when you do that scenario-based exercise, really draw on the statements that you hear, even sometimes like the mannerisms and the faces, you know, as they're discussing how they're going to respond to something. It's pretty telling. So capturing that information, it's more qualitative, capturing the data, but that in and of itself is a metric. You can then take that information and then go and refine your planning, refine those observations or gaps that were surfaced. Maybe you have issues with communication. Maybe there's a breakdown. One big one is you always have someone that knows it all, right? That does it all. I always like to do part of the exercise. I remove them from the exercise. Then it usually gets quiet. So you could test things like that during the exercise. But to me, it's more about what are the observations that are captured and also assigning those to get remediated. How many tests have we done where we've captured this great information? We got the test done, we're good. And then nothing happens until the next one, right? So follow-up is important.
So in your role, switching topics just a little bit here, you are guiding the next generation of professionals in the Homeland Security and emergency management space. What are your thoughts on the next generation entering the workforce, and how do we best support and lead them?
Never a dull time in emergency management. I mean, every day there's something new or something else that's happening. And it seems like they're happening more regular and they're more complex. So it's an exciting time. I see a lot of students come through. They're excited to meet the challenge of being emergency managers. We support them continually by, you know, talking with them, providing scenarios, providing real life things. But now that the narrative is not just, I mean, when I first started in this, it was more about terrorism, counterterrorism. 9/11, you know, brought forth this whole model of enhanced homeland security. But now things like, you know, climate change, global warming, things that you don't think are so that are connected to emergency management and homeland security are now popping up. So it's an interesting time for students because there's so many other different elements that are raising up. I mean, the pandemic is another one that's just, we're going to be studying that for years to come. So we support the students by our guidance. A lot of the faculty members are longtime practitioners in the space with connections to different agencies. So we want to set the students up for success, graduate, land that job. But it's interesting. There's so many things that are new and exciting. I hate to say the word exciting when you talk about homeland security, but a lot of new technology, new tools. So it's a good time for students to jump in.
And last question for you, what are some emergency management and security trends you and your students are discussing going into 2024?
Technology, one. AI is another. How do we kind of harness and leverage that for emergency management? I have a personal one that I really dive into. I'm doing a lot of research and writing a book on race and ethnicity disparities in disasters, which in and of itself has caused a lot of good discussion with students. So students have a kind of a new lens. So things like that, pandemic, I look at emotional intelligence, you know, can we build a better emergency manager through training, through curriculum? So those are the trends I see. I do see a strong trend toward, like I said before, this climate change and how it's maybe precipitating more hurricanes, more severe weather events. But I think AI will help us on the counterterrorism front with regard to intelligence. So again, a lot of new, brand new topics, new things that are out there that we can connect to our, you know, curriculum and connect to our Homeland Security, you know, coursework to get these students better prepared. But it is exciting. You know, there's a lot going on here. Not your typical disaster model anymore. A lot more things.
Yeah, no, that is funny. I taught at Savannah State University, my alma mater, for about 2 years in the Homeland Security program. And it was very rewarding and a rich experience to be able to work with the students. And in my professional life, anytime I tell people what I do, they always say, wow, you are never bored. That is accurate. There is always something going on, a new threat, just a new thing, or a different way of which we want to approach it. Or sometimes it's the clients and their industries that they're in and how they have to navigate those different challenges or obstacles that come up for them. So always something.
Yeah, it's funny. One thing I didn't mention, which is a big one trend, is the cyber threat, you know, with ransomware and threats on our critical infrastructure. We talk about that quite a bit. So yeah, that's another whole theme that is also a focus point because it's just becoming so much more regular now.
Well, thank you for sharing your expertise and providing your insights and guidance to our podcast. We are over 5 years old and very, very excited to have you as one of our guests. I believe I met you finally in person in 2023 in the spring, I believe, or the fall of 2022.
Right, the conference, yeah.
So it was great to finally to have a chance to meet you in person, and even more excited that we were able to have you today as a guest on the podcast.
Excellent. Again, so happy to be here. Thanks for the opportunity, and gonna write that book. I'll make sure I let everyone know about it.
Awesome.
You know.
Yep. Thank you for listening to the Business Resilience Decoded podcast, brought to you by Asphalus Advisors and Disaster Recovery Journal. Make sure you check out the show notes for this episode to see all the upcoming events, programs, and ways we can support you. Make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts, leave us a review, and share it with a friend. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you in the next episode.